This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Welcome to Klaus Financial Money in Motion. Darrell Conner in place of Sean Preble. In studio, I have CJ Klaus and on the phone, Malia Kuvis. Good morning, Malia. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Good. Good. I just want to make sure we had you on the line. CJ is with me. CJ, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Coming in here a little bit under the wire, but yeah. I'm here.
Well, so did I. I was here like 5 minutes before you got here.
Okay. Good. Good.
Let's talk. These are answers to all your retirement questions in one place. You can go to klausfinancial.com for more information. Given the turbulence that we see from time to time in the markets, can you remind us of what investment principles we should hold on to?
Yeah, so we've talked about this on the show before, but it's important to us that people understand some basic investing principles. So we're going to go through a list of six of these investing principles right now.
Okay.
I'll start with one. Malia and I will kind of go back and forth on these. But the first one for everybody to remember is diversify. If anybody's been listening to this show for any period of time, they've heard us talk about diversification 1,000 times now. Yeah. But diversify means when you are investing, putting your money into your 401k, an IRA, something for the future, for retirement purposes, you don't want to put it all in just one stock. Now, where diversification gets confusing for people is they think, oh, I get it, diversify. I'll have 100 accounts. And that is not diversification, because in those 100 accounts, you could still own the same stock.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So people go, okay, so I'll have 100 advisors. And I go, no, that's not diversification either. Diversification is owning multiple different investments and asset classes, not multiple accounts, not multiple advisors. Now, does that mean you can't have multiple accounts and you can't have multiple advisors? No, you could, but don't call that diversification. That's not diversification. So you want to make sure that in your 401k, you own multiple different asset classes and that that asset allocation meets your ultimate goals. So there you go. There's number one, diversification.
But before you go on, is that what happened to many of the employees of Enron?
Absolutely.
I mean, besides the fact that they were crooks, but
right.
the bosses were crooks, but right. the fact that you had so many employees because Enron stock was doing well that they just put all their eggs in the Enron stock.
You got it. As a matter of fact, you look at their 401k allocations, they were all in their company stock. And by the way, for those who are local, not that I have to be really cautious with this. Epic, I love Epic, wonderful company.
Right.
But you have to be careful with the exposure to any company stock, Epic being included in that, or any other company for that matter. You want to be diversified.
And let me chime in. Sometimes we see, you know, this works out quite often where we have spouses that are married to each other coming from the same company. And so not only are they exposed to the possibility of if the company were to lay off people, perhaps you and your spouse could be laid off. But let's talk about the monies that they've put away in these 401k plans, again, each heavily in their own company stock. We've obviously heightened the risk profile for that couple. So, again, we can't pick where you're going to meet your future mate, but I'm just telling you that that is actually an area that makes us a little nervous.
Yep.
Malia Kuvis and CJ Klaus joins us, Klaus Financial Money in Motion Show. And you were talking, CJ, about the simple investing principles. I want to let you continue.
Yeah, so number two is know your time frame. And Malia, why don't you go through that one?
Yeah, so it's really important, again, not to compare yourself to your neighbor, your colleague at work. The time frame that you have left to go ahead and invest may be quite different. And we take that into account when we're looking at, again, these asset classes, percentages that we want to have maybe in bonds, a little bit in cash, and in which types of equities. So it's very important. Obviously, if we're talking to someone in their 20s or 30s, we're probably going to have them much heavily exposed to equities. But if we only have another 5 to 6 years before you're ready to retire, we're going to be looking at toning that down somewhat. Now, I said toning that down. That does not mean we're throwing you all into cash and just waiting for the day you retire. In fact, we really need to make some headway towards the end as well. But we want to make sure that we're not taking unnecessary risk, because the one thing we do not want our clients to hear is, we thought you could retire, but guess what? You get to work another 5 years because you were overexposed. And again, that this feeds back to why it's always good to have a professional help you look at this planning to make sure that you're not being too aggressive at the wrong time.
We are talking about simple investing principles with Malia Cuevas and CJ Kloss from Kloss Financial. This is the Money in Motion show. When we come back, we'll continue talking about simple investing principles and financial thought, financial advice to live by. You're listening to 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Welcome back. Kloss Financial, Money in Motion, Darrell Conner with you, along with Malia Cuevas and CJ Kloss. We are talking about simple investing principles. And before we went to break, we were talking about diversification, also knowing your time frame, and now knowing your risk profile.
That's right. So number three on our list here is knowing your risk profile, which this just simply means know how much volatility or loss you can tolerate. So often people will say to us, hey, I've heard that when I'm younger, I should be more aggressive. When I'm older, I should be more conservative. And certainly there's some truth to that. But that's stripping out your individual identity. Just because you're young doesn't mean you have tolerance for risk, right? And just because you're older doesn't mean that you have no tolerance for risk. Not only do you have to be...
CJ?
What was that?
What about your spouse? Maybe you have tolerance.
Right. Right, know your household risk profile. It's a great point that Malia brings up. So this point of knowing your risk profile is to many firms, good firms like ours, and there's others in the community that do this, will ask a household to answer a list of questions relative to this risk profile.
Sure.
You know, how much loss can you tolerate in any given year? You know, would you rather have a lower rate of return with less risk? There's like 12 questions that start to get the sense of how much risk can this person take on regardless of their age. So make sure before you invest in a portfolio, you understand this, because here's why, folks. If you go through a loss of, you know, call it a 2008 market correction, and then you decide you don't have the tolerance for that, that's the worst nightmare ever, because now you're selling out at the bottom. So know your risk profile.
And I would say, and CJ can equate this too, if you look at percentages versus dollars, sometimes people don't really understand the difference. They think 5%, 10% doesn't sound so bad, but when we put it in the form of dollars for their portfolio, it makes them sick. So that's why we really want to make sure they understand that.
Yeah.
So the next item we wanted to talk about was staying committed to your strategy. As CJ's saying, not selling out when the market's down. And, you know, I think one thing that people want to do is they look at, first of all, what's going on right now. If everybody else is jumping ship, that probably means I should too. Again, we go back to, let's look at the strategy. The companies that were good yesterday are probably still good today. Your strategy that you have in place is probably still a good strategy today. Not that it can't be tweaked here and there, but it's just important to stay on track. One thing people like to do is they like to look at returns from previous years. And they go, well, this fund did this and this fund did that. And I remind listeners that that is historical data. We don't want to chase returns. We don't want to chase the number one stock of the day, because it's not going to be one tomorrow. And a truly diversified portfolio, every single month, you're going to see highs and lows amongst your investments. And that's what it means. It is diversified if you're seeing that. So just hold true to your strategy, and hopefully you can stay the course.
Well, so let me just add to this. We've talked about this on the show before, but if I... This notion of selling out when things go the wrong direction with the market, I have to admit to our listeners out there, this is bizarre to me, because nobody does this with their home, right? Nobody does this with a physical asset. Let me give you an example, Darrell.
Okay.
Your home in 2008, whether you knew it or not, was probably down somewhere between 20 and 40% in value if you had tried to sell it in March of 2009.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So if I had come to your doorstep and I knocked on your door and you came to the door and I said, did you know you've lost 30% of your value of your home? You might have said to me, no. But what if I simultaneously said, therefore, sell your home to me? You would say, are you nuts?
Right.
Number one, I didn't even know it was down 30%. Number two, why would I sell it now when it's down 30%?
Exactly.
And if I pushed you and said, yeah, but everybody else is selling their home, you'd probably get your shotgun and tell me to get off the porch, right? And yet, this is what investors do all the time, right? The market goes down 30%. They've lost 30% of their value. Somebody calls them up and says, did you see what happened in the market today, right? And they freak out and they sell their house, or they sell their stocks in this case. So I have to be frank, you know, everyone, I don't understand this notion. If you're going to sell out of your home, sell out at a peak value, not a bottom value. And this goes back to just sticking with your strategy. The best time to be investing is actually when the market is down. That's not the best time to be selling. So be careful with the frenzy of what other investors do.
Malia Cuevas and CJ Kloss joins us. It's Kloss Financial Money in Motion on 1310 WIBA. What are some of the other principles that folks should live by when it comes to investing?
Yeah, so there's... Go ahead, Malia.
And I think we've highlighted this a little bit already. The one of them would be that you remember that time is your greatest advocate when mm-hmm. it comes to investing, so get started now. People like to come to us and say, I know I should have done something different 5 years ago. I know I should have been doing this putting more into my retirement accounts. Listen, folks, that was yesterday. This is today.
Right.
And we really think that if you get started and have a plan of action, you can actually achieve some goals. Now, the one thing we joke about is that we never hear people say as they enter retirement, oh, I wish I wouldn't have saved so much money. Okay, we don't hear that very often.
Probably not.
So, except for you. But what we want to make sure is that we do get started today. Don't give up. And finally, seek some professional guidance. I've many times have given the example of at my home, where my faucet is not working and my husband says, I will fix it, I'm going to go to Lowe's, I'm going to buy all this stuff. And in the end, our faucet is still leaking. And so we still have to call the plumber. No offense to my husband, he tried, but that's why we seek out professionals. So hopefully you've got a good advisor that you're comfortable with that listens to what you want to do for your retirement, and you can share that partnership as you head down towards that final day of retiring.
Malia Cuevas, CJ Kloss joins us. It's Kloss Financial Money in Motion. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of the mistakes to avoid when it comes to investing. We'll do that next. You're listening to 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
CJ Kloss, Malia Cuevas joins us. Money in Motion show, Kloss Financial. And what are some of the mistakes that all of us can avoid? Everybody's preparing for retirement and everyone's investing. And some, like you said, some, depending on who you are, you're maybe aggressive, some may be conservative. But what are some of the mistakes we can avoid as you prepare for retirement?
Well, I think we've spent a lot of time talking about how not to jump in and out of the market. That's important to remember. As we look at options for people as they get closer to retirement, making the right choices when it comes to choices on their pensions, how the payout choices could reflect for their future, if they have a spouse or not, where that money may end up. You'll see many choices, single payment, 50-50, et cetera, a lump sum option. So all of those need to be carefully looked at, because once you make those choices, generally speaking, they are irrevocable. So just slow down on those areas, take a close look. But I think what we want to jump into next is talking about the mistakes we sometimes see with people deciding to retire and not really fully vetting out the health insurance coverage. And I think CJ can speak to this.
Yes, so the most common age we see people retiring at is age 65.
Sure.
And a lot of times people say, oh yeah, age 65, that's when I can get Social Security. And no, the earliest you can get Social Security is 62. Most people's full retirement age, as defined by Social Security, is between 66 and 67. 65 is actually the most common retirement age, because that's when you become Medicare eligible. So there's two parts to Medicare, and actually, Malia has more background in Medicare than I do, so Malia, why don't you go into this?
Well, and I know what one thing that people know is they go, yay, I'm at 65, I can actually get health insurance coverage and the government can pay for me now, and I know sometimes that sounds like a good idea. What we want you to understand is there are two parts to Medicare. There's Part A and there's Part B. Now, Part A is the part that covers your hospital insurance. As you turn 65 and you're no longer working and you need health insurance coverage, Part A actually covers your hospital insurance. And it's usually at no cost to you if you're currently collecting Social Security. Now, there are people out there who never paid into Social Security. They still need coverage. And an average amount for that would cost them in the $400 range. There's also Part B medical insurance, and that part covers your visits to the doctor and so forth. And Part B is taken directly out of your Social Security as well. So Part A, Part B, you also hear about Part D. Part D is something completely separate, and that covers your prescription coverage. So maybe you're not on any prescriptions, but you may be on some in a year. You're going to need to sit down with a healthcare professional, an insurance professional that can direct you to the right plan that will fit your needs. And one thing to remember when you look at those Part D and Medicare supplements, something else to consider, is you want to get what fits for your particular situation. The plans out there, not to confuse people, range from plans A all the way through J. This is completely separate from what I was just speaking about. And those need to be looked at for cost, service, and so forth, because they're provided by multiple different insurance companies. But you want to sit down and find out really what do you need and make sure you're paying a fair price, because by law, all of these supplements do have to offer the same items. However, some companies are fairly reasonable and some are not. So take a close look. Medical insurance is really important as you enter retirement, and we want to make sure you've looked at all your options.
So to summarize a little bit of what Malia was talking about there, if you are eligible for Social Security and you begin drawing Social Security at age 65, let's say, which is not your full retirement age but a little before,
right,
but you're doing that because you now have medical insurance through Medicare, what we'll typically see is that people will sign up for Medicare. They'll have the Part A, which doesn't cost you anything, the Part B, which is a reduction of your Social Security benefit, and then they'll get a Medicare supplement, which that's where it's Part or Plan A through Plan J. You have multiple different supplement options. Those can cost anywhere in the range of $100 to $150 a month, something like that. And then there's many times an RX prescription plan as well. So there's kind of a, in a nutshell, a summary of what we typically see, but 65 is a pretty big age when it comes to getting prepared for retirement, because you finally have this health insurance outside of what your employer offered.
We have about a minute left in the show, so we've got to get to the quiz question, the class quiz question of the week, and that is, which part of Medicare covers the hospital insurance? So that is your question of the week, and the winner gets a $25 gift card for Lowe's. You can call 608-442-5637 if you have that answer, and it was given during the show if you were paying attention. CJ Claus, Malia Cuevas, I want to thank you both for joining us another week of Money in Motion. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
Really do.
Thank you.
You take care.
Thank you.
That is all
this
for the...
This is Money in Motion with Claus Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Claus Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Claus Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Claus Financial.